Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Verse 44 and 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let us look to the Lord once again in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. It is by your mercy and grace that we again are at your feet. Lord, we would like to, like Mary, to listen to your word. And Lord, how much it is our desire that you will disclose your word, you will reveal your word, Lord, to us. Lord, you know that we are blind to your value, to your spiritual value. So we need you tonight to open our eyes that we may see. Dear Lord, this is our desire. This is our prayer. Lord, open our eyes that we may see. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you know, the theme of this conference is spiritual value. Now, on my part, I'd like to share on this matter of the spiritual value as kingdom value. Now we would like to continue to share on the twin parables in Matthew chapter 13. The parable of hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl. Yesterday, I tried to share with brothers and sisters the parable of the hidden treasure. Now, I didn't finish it, so I think I like to do it very quickly before we will proceed to the parable of the pearl. I think I already mentioned some very important points about that parable, but now we like to do a very quick review. Now, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. Now, because the kingdom is God's, so he hide it. And so according to Proverbs chapter 25 verse 1, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. And according to the word of God, especially given in Matthew chapter 13 and 25. Now actually God, since the foundation of the world, God already had that secret in his heart. And when God hides, he digs very, very deep. So that's why when we study Romans chapter 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And when he has hid much, and not only that, when he was hiding something, actually he has hidden much wealth in there. So that's why when we read Ephesians chapter 2, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now, what is the original mystery? Now, yesterday I mentioned it very quickly. Now, if I try to borrow a statement from Govet, now he said the original mystery was God's concealed design to make earth the seat of his universal government. In other words, our planet actually is the spaceship of our God, with a very important mission. That is, the will of God will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is indeed a mystery. But unfortunately, Jewish people, when they study prophecies, They only saw one aspect. So immediately they think about something political, something earthly on this earth. But actually, you know, according to our Lord's definition of the kingdom of heaven is this. Now, kingdom of heaven is not the heaven in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is heaven on earth. So our Lord, according to our God's desire, He wants to use this planet as the seat of His universal government. So let us remember, now Messianic kingdom is only global, but the kingdom of heaven is universal. So for that reason, now some secret always in God's heart. Now when our Lord came, when our Lord came to this earth, then that mystery has been revealed. Now if we go on to study epistles, I think it's very, very clear. The mystery of God is Christ. The mystery of Christ is the church. So brothers and sisters, today when we are in the church, now kingdom of heaven is realized in the church of God, which is the body of Christ. So brothers and sisters, when we are gathered together, when into His name, only His name, no other name, and when we are gathering together, only the Holy Spirit is in charge, and He can govern the whole meeting. Now brothers and sisters, when we gather in such a way, or we put it as what Paul put it, when we gather as a church, now brothers and sisters, this is a heaven on earth. Now you will discover it is true. This is the kingdom of heaven. So kingdom of heaven is to be realized on earth today. So brothers and sisters, and this is the secret has been hidden long from the foundation of the world. And even that secret has been hidden from most of the prophets, Old Testament prophets. And they see something, they still very, very vague. Now, unfortunately, for that reason, now Jewish people, they have some wrong concept because something was hidden there. But thank the Lord, it pleased our Father to reveal His Son in us. And also, thank the Lord, it pleased our Lord to reveal His church to us. So it is a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters. Today, when we look back, we know that this is a revealed mystery. Now, so I think this is a very important review. And then we read a phrase, a man found and hid. Now, I like this word, found and hid. Now, it was our God who did the first hiding. It was the Son. It was the Son of God who did the second hiding. Now, before our Lord had His second hiding, He found it first. So what does that mean? That means that secret or that mystery has been revealed on this earth. So, brothers and sisters, almost 2,000 years ago, when our Lord was walking on this planet, and you remember, and He preached the gospel of kingdom, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And not only that, His disciple proclaimed the same message. So the teaching of the kingdom of heaven was being made manifest. But more than that, you remember how our Lord heals and also performed many miracles. So that's demonstration of the power of the kingdom of heaven. So, brother and sister, when our Lord was walking on this planet, on the Sea of Galilee, now let us remember, when He was walking on this earth, now thank the Lord, because the kingdom, the King of the kingdom has come. And because the King of the kingdom is here, so brother and sister, the kingdom of heaven is here. Then He began to call His disciples. Now, in this kingdom, not only have a king, also have the people. So that's why He called disciples everywhere to follow Him. So, brother and sister, on the day of Pentecost, we all know the story. The Holy Spirit baptized that 120 individuals in Jerusalem into one body of 120 members. So, brothers and sisters, then you discover the heaven on earth began. Then you discover the reality of the kingdom of heaven is there. So for that reason, let us remember the kingdom of heaven is the part or the section of the kingdom of God from the coming of our Lord to the second coming of our Lord. Now this section, Bible especially describe it as the kingdom of heaven. So brother and sister, remember that kingdom of heaven has been revealed on this earth. But as you know, afterwards, how our Lord encountered so much oppositions. And you remember how he was rejected by his own people. Now, today, he even was rejected by the whole world. Now, because he suffered so much opposition and also so much obstacles, so much he was in an unfavorable environment. So, brothers and sisters, and then that's why the Bible said he found and hid. So, as we already explained, that's why our Lord began to speak in parable. Why? Because now, kingdom of heaven become a paradox. On the one hand, it is being revealed because Our Lord say congratulations to his disciples. Blessed are your eyes and your ears. Why? Because now you see and also now you hear. So what does that mean? That means the kingdom of heaven is being revealed to the babes. But for those prudent and wise, and our heavenly Father now hide things to those prudent and wise. So now you can understand. Now if you are babes, now this kingdom is supposed to be revealed to you. So for that reason, you know, when our Lord was alone with his disciples, he tried to explain everything, made it crystal clear to them. And not only let them see that this is the king of the kingdom, and also they are the sons of kingdom. So, brothers and sisters, now you know that now it become a paradox. On the one hand, it is found. On the other hand, it is hidden. It is hidden to those prudent and wise. Now it is revealed to those babes. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to follow the Lord? If you are willing, now you know that this kingdom is being revealed to us. So I love the phrase found and hid, because this actually speaks out the kingdom paradox today. On the one hand, it is hidden. On the other hand, it is found. Now, so let us remember two phrases from the lips of our Lord. Now, first phrase, while seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, that's why the Lord spoke to them, the parables. Now, that's the purpose why our Lord talk about the parables. Because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear. So, brothers and sisters, not only the word of the kingdom, even the kingdom now become the kingdom in mystery. But one day, that kingdom will be manifested. So in the millennium time, after our Lord's return, now at that time, now brothers and sisters, you know that kingdom will be manifested. So that's the kingdom in manifestation. So when we talk about millennium kingdom, when we talk about messianic kingdom, now brothers and sisters, it means that kingdom manifested or kingdom in manifestation. But today, it is a paradox. Now, I think it's very interesting when our Lord said, while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear. Do you understand that phrase? I understood it very clearly. Why? Because before I was 50, I already got a cataract. Now, you know, if you really have a cataract, then you begin to understand this phrase clearly. While seeing, you do not see, and while hearing, you do not hear. So you see, that's character. That's cataract. Not only character in eyes, or character in ears. So how do you know that someone has cataract? Now I know how to help those people. So you see, I always say, now, how do you know you have cataract? So I said, how many fingers do I have? Now, if he say two, now I know he has no eyesight problem. But if he say this is only one, I know he has cataract. So you see, brother, it's very, very clear. Now, brothers and sisters, our Lord is the Messiah. And people of Israel has been always waiting for Messiah. But then, 2,000 years ago, our Lord already came. But why they reject him as the Messiah? Why? Because in their sight, in their eyes, they only see the coming of Messiah in glory. So in their concept, when Messiah come, he must be in glory. He must have iron fist, which is bigger than Roman Empire. Then, you see, then this deliverer will deliver his people from the oppression of the enemy. So if now someone can show the fist, the iron fist, he must be Messiah. But brothers and sisters, our Lord died for us on the cross. Now think about it. Now, our Messiah is supposed to crucify, supposed to put the whole Roman Empire on the cross. But instead, Roman Empire put our Lord on the cross. Now, brothers and sisters, now the Jewish people of Israel told themselves, this cannot be. If you study Old Testament, now you know that Messiah will come in glory. The Messiah come with his white horse. When Messiah come, his feet will be upon the Mount of Olive. Then he will deliver his people from emergency. So my brothers and sisters, and for that reason they reject him. They think it's impossible. But they don't know, brothers and sisters. The Messiah, before he become the glorious Messiah, actually, he has to be a suffering Messiah. So because they only see one coming of Messiah, they didn't know that actually there are two comings of Messiah. When our Lord first came as the Lamb of God, when the Lord come again as the Lions of Judah, he will rule the nation with the iron rod. Now, brothers and sisters, all the people of Israel, they only looking forward for the ruling of Messiah over the nations. They didn't know that. Before that, our Lord, the Messiah, will come as the Lamb of God. So you see, brothers and sisters, they don't understand. They only see one. They cannot see two. And not only that, in their mind, if you talk to them that God is going to use this planet as the seat of his universal government, immediately they think about something political. Immediately they think about something earthly. So if you read Old Testament prophecies, and now gradually they got some kind of concept, and that concept in one sense is correct. That is, one day, Messiah will set up his kingdom on this earth. So that's very clear from the Word of God. But what do they see is only that part we call the kingdom in manifestation. Only that part. But they didn't see that before that, there is a process was going. And not only that, actually it is a life process is being going on. And it is not all of a sudden, yes, when our Lord, his feet was upon the Mount of Olives, it just a sudden. And I believe that day in the whole world, there is only one channel probably run by CNN. That means our Lord is already coming. And then you will see how our Lord's feet will be upon the Mount of Olives. Then there will be an earthquake. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the Messiah they were looking for. very dramatic, very wonderful, with might, with glory. Now, brothers and sisters, we do. We know that that's true. One day when our Lord come again, definitely that will be the case. He will be in glory. He is the King of glory. Who is this? All the heads of the gate have to open, have to lift up your head. Now today, all the doors, all the gates were open. There only one gate is closed. That's called Golden Gate. Now we believe that at that day, now when our Lord returns, now that Golden Gate will lift up his head. Why? Because the King of the glory is coming. So brothers and sisters, we believe the same thing. But one thing, now the people of Israel, they couldn't see because what our Lord said, while seeing, they do not see. They see these two just like one. So they were expecting that moment, but they didn't know that. No cross, no crown. With the Jewish people, the kingdom is a goal. But for the church today, now the kingdom is both a goal and a process. So for that reason, our Lord said, I am the way. Now today, if you ask many rabbis, they have a wonderful goal. Now you know in this world, the Greek people, they always look back to their golden days. And also Roman people, the same thing. But only two people always look forward for their golden days in future. One is earthly, one is heavenly. Earthly is the people of Israel. Now another people is the people of the church of God. Now our future and our glory is in the future. Thank the Lord, our golden days in our future. Thank the Lord. Only these two people, they have that vision. Now it is thank the Lord for that wonderful vision. For the people of Israel, they always look forward, not look backward. They always look forward for that glorious day. But to them, this is only a goal. There is no way at all. They don't know how to reach there because they crucify our Lord on the cross. So my brother, he is the way. Thank the Lord. Now you know there is a way. Now what is the way? Cross is the path to the glory. No cross, no crown. So my brothers and sisters, now the people of Israel, they only see one aspect. They only see the last one. They didn't know that before that, the kingdom is in mystery. And now brothers and sisters, if you talk about the glory, means if now I think we all know the meaning, or let me put it this way, you know, when our Lord was on earth, one day he took three disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration and he was transfigured before them. And now, you know, you see the glory. And now we all know that glory of the kingdom has been shown to the three disciples. And, actually this was only a partial glimpse. This was only a hurry flash of the glory of kingdom. But after that, you know, our Lord said to his disciples, tell the vision to no man. He found and hid. So, brothers and sisters, now you can imagine the exaltation or the glory of Messiah and the coming of the kingdom of God are separate, are inseparable united. But if this is true, then the humiliation of Messiah and the kingdom in mystery is united. What does that mean? Now, if the glory of our Lord is somehow connected with the coming of the kingdom of God, then the humiliation of our Lord, then the cross, then the way of the cross, this become the mystery of kingdom. Now that's hidden from the eyes of man. Because people didn't want that. They want to go to heaven without paying any cross. They, or even for the Jewish people, they have the goal, but they never have a way. Because Christ is the way. And what is that way? Very clearly. Now we know that The first coming of our Lord as the Lamb of God, and second coming of our Lord as the Lion of Judah. So, brothers and sisters, you have two comings of our Lord. And you also have two stages of the kingdom of heaven. Today, the kingdom in mystery. And in the future, the kingdom in manifestation. So, brothers and sisters, for that reason, today's our way is way of the cross. Because cross is the way to the harvest. Cross is the way to the crown. Cross is the way to the glory. So, brothers and sisters, we are blessed because we see. We are blessed because we hear. Now, that's the kingdom of heaven being revealed to the babes. So, brothers and sisters, today we all know that our Lord is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but this world didn't know about it. Today we worship Him. We know that He is our Lord, and now we live in that reality. In the church, now you know we dare not to suggest anything. We dare not to do anything because heaven should rule in the church. It is not your opinion. It is not my ability to do, to have any contribution. Now, brothers and sisters, anyone come to the church, you discover the cross is always at the door. Now, my brothers and sisters, for that reason, now you know that the kingdom of heaven is being realized in the church. So, my brothers and sisters, it's very clear. If you want to ask me, where is the kingdom of God to heaven today? Now look at the church. So everywhere, now you see, that's what the Lord is doing. Now that's why the testimony everywhere is so important. Because everywhere when you see the church, I mean, when you really touch, when we gather together as a church, and really gather into His name, and the Holy Spirit really govern the whole gathering, now you discover this is indeed heaven on earth. And we worship. And all those people around us, they couldn't understand it. Why they waste their time in this weekend for all those worshiping and all those things? But brothers and sisters, we know what we are doing. Because we know that He is our King. We know that He conquered us by His love. Infinite love on the cross. So my brothers and sisters, that's why not only our Lord become the riddle to this world, we also become the riddle to this world. Now today the world try to figure out what happened with us. Now brothers and sisters, why? Because today is the kingdom of heaven in mystery. So brothers and sisters, for that reason, we need the Lord's operation. Thank the Lord. The Lord said to His disciples, blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. Oh, so may the Lord be merciful to us in these days. Now let us really see what we should see. Because this is a paradox. If we are babes, we ought to see them. But if you are prudent, if you think you are wise, if you want to adopt anything from the world, you think you learn something from the world, so why not we depend on something? Now, brothers and sisters, you can do anything using the world's method when you come to this matter of the church, when you come to this matter of the kingdom of heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, only heaven has the final word. So thank the Lord, this is the kingdom of heaven. Now this is the hidden treasure. Brothers and sisters, it is so clear, and you find a man found and hid. So that's indeed a paradox. And then the Bible continued to say, he sells all that he has and buy that field. Now we know that our Lord did pay the price because he saw the value of the kingdom of heaven. Because that's exactly what our God wanted to do. He was waiting for that moment when his son came down to this earth. Oh, what a wonderful moment. Now the kingdom of heaven was being revealed to the people at that time. And through his power, through his miracles, through his wonders, through his teaching, through his healing, brother and sister, you know that the kingdom of heaven is there. And the disciples, they were under heaven all the time. Because where was our Lord? There was the heaven. So my brother and sister, it is wonderful. Now these disciples always under heaven. Today we are the same thing. Every time when we gather together, heaven is here. Wherever we go, we always bring heaven to this earth. Now, brothers and sisters, this world is a bitter world. The only way is that wherever we go, we bring the heaven with us. So, my brothers and sisters, this is the mystery, or this is the hidden treasure. Now, in order to buy that, in order to secure that treasure, now you know how our Lord died for us on the cross. So that's why we read in the Bible, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. And we also read, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And we also read, they secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, Peter was talking about the heretic teachers of the last day. They are not believers. They don't believe. But even they don't believe. Now, the Bible said, now even denying the Lord, they that bought them. So, brother and sister, our Lord indeed bought the whole field. You remember the story of Judah. And after he denied his Lord, and then he was so regret, and then he hanged himself. And then you know the story very well. And Judah cast out the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them, into the treasury because it is a price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers, in wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Now, brothers and sisters, this field of blood reminds us another field of blood, because our Lord indeed, using his blood, actually bought the whole field. And now Judah's story is only a reflection. It's only a reminder to tell us, in order to steal the treasure in the field. And our Lord has bought everything. He bought the whole field. Now finally, today we know that the finder of the treasure is in heaven. Now sometimes we think that probably he forgot this lower earth. He forgot this planet. But no, we know that his own words will assure us this is not so. He was only waiting for the Father's signal to begin his re-entry. You know, just like when you have rocket sent out or spaceship sent out, then one day we'll come back again. We call it re-entry. Now, our Lord can have his re-entry anytime, but he was waiting for the signal of the Father. How can we be sure about it? Because from his own word. You remember once he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, brothers and sisters, from his own word, we know definitely he will come back to his own. Why? Because he has a treasure on this earth. He wants to come back to secure the treasure. So for that reason, my brothers and sisters, definitely he will come back. We not only pray that he will come back, we also standing on his promise, he definitely will come back. Why? We know that if he won't come back, he didn't have to pay that price on the cross. No. But thank the Lord, he did that because he knew that this is most valuable thing. Because that's something touched the heart of the Father. This something really satisfied his Father. So for that reason, my brothers and sisters, our Lord indeed has sold all he has. Not just for our poor sinners. Thank the Lord for that. Indeed, because of our sins, because of our iniquities, because of our failures, our Lord has to come become our Savior. Thank the Lord for that. But not more than that. Actually, the Lord was paying the price because he bought the field to secure the treasure. What does that mean? One day he will come back to claim that treasure. So thank the Lord. Brothers and sisters, are you waiting for His coming? When He come, what He want to do is try to collect the treasure. Try to claim that treasure. He will not come to collect the garbage. If He's coming for that purpose, we wish that He could come the thief will come every day. But no, He will be like a thief. But when He come for His treasure. So my brother and sister, this is a wonderful story. This is a wonderful parable of the hidden treasure. So now we will come to the parable of the pearl. Now this is another very wonderful parable. So I think we better read it again. Verse 46. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now again, when we come to the understanding of this parable, we have to be careful, because we already mentioned about one danger, that is, we always follow the popular opinion. If you read many books, if many Bible scholars said that this ought to be the interpretation, we always follow it. Now actually, Campbell Morgan once warned us, and I like his statement, I like to quote it from him. He said, the acceptation of popular interpretation of scripture led to the crucifixion of Jesus. Do you believe that statement is true? You see, the acceptation of popular interpretation of scripture led to the crucifixion of Jesus. So for that reason, brothers, we should not just follow the popular opinion. We have to bring everything under the light of the word. And we have to ask the Lord, is this the correct one? Is this the correct interpretation? Now, even sometimes you may learn much teaching from that interpretation. No doubt about that. But now we want to know, when our Lord spoke this word, what did He mean? So, brother and sister, this is very, very important. Now, the popular of this parable is this. The pearl is Christ. And actually, this view is from the early church to the present. Okay, almost every century. And the man is the believer. Okay, pearl is Christ, and the man is the believer. But then you have some problem here. Let me just ask you a few questions if you hold this view. How can Christ be bought? How can He be only a pearl of great price among many pearls? Well, you say that the pearl means a savior. Can the true Christians be said to be seeking goodly savior or fine saviors? And not only that, we have one beautiful hymn to support this interpretation. We have sung that yesterday. I have found the pearl of peerless price, and my heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. I must tell you, this is one of my favorite hymns. But unfortunately, this is very beautiful. But as Campbell Morgan put it, it is quite untrue to the teaching of this parable. So, brother and sister, we have no way out. Now, one thing is, we have to go back to the Word of God. And now remember the rule of interpreting parable are two things, very simple: unity and simplicity. So we will follow that rule. And now then you know that when our Lord use some kind of figure of speech, He always use it very uniformly. If the Lord has another sense, another meaning, He definitely will tell us. Otherwise, He will put us total in darkness. So, my brothers, if you think that our Lord is consistent in His teaching, if you think that our Lord is consistent in His using the figures of speech, then we know that if you read all these parables, now one thing you are pretty sure, who is this man? This man must be the Son of Man again. If you read the whole seven parables, it is so clear, aside from that woman in the fourth parables, then you discover a man always refer to the Son of Man. If this is not the case, if there's any confusion, definitely the Lord tried to explain to us. But now you know that it's clear. So the Lord didn't do that. So now we know that this merchant who was seeking the fine pearls must be our Lord. He must be the Son of Man. By the way, now the treasure, the parable of hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl, these two form a twin. Actually, twin parables. If you read the context, you know it very well. So then when you put together, if you really insist on the consistency of the teaching of our Lord, now it's very clear this man must be the Son of Man. So if we already solve this problem, the only thing left is the pearl. How do you explain the pearl? Thank the Lord. In this chapter, our Lord didn't explain it. But while our Lord was on earth, he did mention about the pearl. And when he talked about the pearl, always connected with the kingdom of heaven. So, brother and sister, do you understand? Not the pearl in some other context. The pearl in the context of the kingdom of heaven. Because our Lord was teaching us the kingdom of heaven. He was telling us the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So this pearl must be something connected or related to the kingdom of heaven. So now, brothers and sisters, we will ask, now when and where our Lord mentioned the word pearl? Now, I think if your memory won't fail you, I think you will remember one place. It's very, I think we don't have to turn to it. I just remind you, in Matthew chapter 6, 7 verse 6, he said, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. Let they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now, sometimes we wonder why our Lord mentioned this state. Why our Lord give us this statement? It's very important because our Lord mentioned it on chapter 7. What does that mean? If you read the Sermon on the Mount, then you discover, if you really live according to that life, then you discover you are a man without any protection. You see? And not only that, if you really live that life, then you are exposed to danger. So for that reason, our Lord teaches us two important lessons. First, we ought to pray every day. Now that's Lord's prayer. Every day we should pray that the Lord will deliver us from evil. Deliver us from someone who will slap your face. Because when your face are being slapped, according to the life which is within us, we are supposed to turn another cheek. Now, this is a secret. This is something, this is a heavenly secret. And you are not supposed to tell it to the unbelievers. Because this is something holy. And this is something holy. And this you cannot cast out just like that. No, you cannot do that. So for that reason, it is on one hand, you discover the pearls is holy. Because this is a parallel sentence here. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. So we know that the pearl must be very holy. Why, brothers and sisters? Because that word is only for the disciples. Because this word is to reveal us what kind of life we have. Extraordinary life which is within us. Then we know how to respond. We know how to react. Now, my brothers and sisters, we ought to know. But our Lord said, now, on one hand, we need to pray we will be delivered from the evil. That's one hand. On the other hand, we should remember you should not cast that to the world. You should not let the world know. Now, we should be wise. So, my brothers and sisters, if you read the context here, immediately you know what pearl means. It simply means the description of our life in the Sermon on the Mount. And how our Lord told us we should love our enemies. How our Lord remind us we should have a perfect love, as perfect as our Heavenly Father. Oh, brother and sister, it's impossible for us to be as perfect as our Heavenly Father in the matter of holiness. That's impossible. But one thing is possible. In this matter of love. Now, if you know the value of love, Love is always a circle. It's not semi-circle. If you love your friend, that's only one half of the circle. If God only sent the rain to the righteous, now that's only one half of the circle. But thank God, God also sent the rain to the evil one. So that performed the whole circle. This is a perfect love. So for that reason, brothers and sisters, we ought to love our enemy. Now thank the Lord. This is kingdom life. So my brothers and sisters, remember, there is life called kingdom life. And our Lord tried to retell us, unless your righteousness, if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? It means that life is extraordinary life. Now, why you can pray or you can love your enemy, that's extraordinary life. So my brothers and sisters, we thank the Lord for the value of love. And what kind of love is this? Remember, this is something belong to the kingdom of heaven. Now brothers and sisters, if you want to enter into the earthly kingdom, now all the Jewish people, they know, if there are only two persons who can go to heaven, one is Pharisee, another is scribe. But our Lord said, your righteousness ought to surpass their righteousness. So what does that mean? That means that something belongs to the kingdom of heaven. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what a beautiful standard. What such a high standard. Why? Because this exactly the life that dwells in us. This is the life of Christ. So when we obey, then we live out that life. And we call that kingdom life. Now, kingdom life means you not only receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you not only knowing that the life of Christ is there, but through your obedience, you let that life live out through you. Now, that's called kingdom life. And what is pearl? The pearl is nothing but the kingdom life. So if you want to know the kingdom life, read the Sermon on the Mount, brothers and sisters. Now you will know. Now you know that this is the pearl our Lord tried to describe to us. Now, one thing we should remember when you interpret this parable is this. This merchant, actually, he was seeking fine pearls, means many fine pearls, or many goodly pearls, as King James put it, or many beautiful pearls, as New King James put it. But anyway, there are many pearls. Our Lord was looking at the Son of Man was looking for this pearl, you see? But there's only one pearl of great price. Now, brothers and sisters, and that life is really coincide in line with the life of Christ. And for that reason, when Christ loved his enemy, we also love our enemy. And now, brethren, it is the life of Christ want us to turn another cheek, to go another mile. My brothers and sisters, when that life really being realized, remember, that's the pearl of a great price. So you see, brothers and sisters, here you have a comparison. You have the best. You have the second best. These are fine pearls. These are goodly pearls. These are beautiful pearls. Now, I remember a true story in Taiwan recently, because recently in Taiwan, they celebrated Chinese Valentine. Now, then in that day, many political figures tried to show to the people, you know, they are also like us. So they also celebrate Valentine's. So the wife of a city mayor in Taiwan, now she went to the television and she introduced her husband as my best life companion. It's a wonderful comment. But immediately, you know, her husband correct her. Now, not my best companion, my only life companion. You understand? If you say my best life companions, means you have so many life companions, but she's the best one.
But you clearly say, my only life companion. For that reason, brothers, the pearl here, you cannot interpret as Christ, because we have only one Savior and no other Savior. Only one Savior, there is no other Savior. And also, some people try to explain as a church. Again, it's impossible. There is only one body of Christ. So very difficult. But brothers, again, I say, you have to go back to the word of Christ and see what did he say and in what context he talked about the pearl. And now, brothers and sisters, when you come to these verses again, you discover indeed this is price. This pearl is different from than others. So that's why our Lord said, your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisee. You see, that is different. And not only that. And now, the Lord said, if you greet your brethren only, and what you do more than others. You see, brethren, the kingdom life always asks one question. If it's more than others. So you see, brethren, it is good. This is all good. But do you do something better? So for that reason, now, brethren and sisters, you know that this speaks of the kingdom life. Now, I think you all know the formation of the pearl. I think that's very familiar to you. Now, first, the pearl is direct product of a living organism. Now, this is the only one precious stone. It's very unique in its origin. Take a diamond, take a gold, any other things. You see, now it's come something inorganic. But the pearl is really derived from life. So I think this is very, very important. The kingdom life is actually derived from the life of Christ. Now that's very, very important. And not only that, and you know very well the story, you know the very well, in the shell of the oyster, the pearl is formed. And now when a grain of sand intrude the oyster, and then he was irritated, the creature was irritated. Now instead of reject those sands, but somehow he do this otherwise, and somehow he wrap it, and one layer after another layer. So the whole situation become the base that a whole pearl and rare and beautiful jewel was built up. So I think it's very clear, we know that a pearl is the answer of an injured life to that which injures it. So again, let me repeat again. A grain of sand intruding is the root principle of the pearl. But more than that, the pearl is the answer of the injured to the injured done. So my brothers and sisters, now you understand why our Lord said to Peter, when Peter said, Lord, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So, brothers and sisters, what does that mean? That means instead of you forgive seven times, it's 70 times seven times, one layer after another layer, then after 490 layers, a pearl was being formed. So, my brothers and sisters, this is something wonderful. This is really something wonderful from the lips from our Master. Now, according to Jewish tradition, you know, they forgive people. They learn to forgive people three times. One in the morning, one at noon, and also one in the evening. Now, Peter, he came to the Lord, tried to impress our Lord. Now, how about seven times? You see, it's not three times, but seven times. Now, brother and sister, what our Lord says, no, it's 70 times seven. So what does that mean? If someone tried to offend you 490 times per day, what does that mean? Means every 2 minutes, he is going to hit you. And every 2 minutes, he will bother you, and you have to forgive him. Do you see that, brothers? And this is the life of pearl. The pearl is answer of injury to the injury done. So to forgive and to forget, that's the order from our Lord. That's the order from our Master. We are able to do it. not by ourselves, by the life that dwells in us. So, brother, he said, why don't you let the life of Christ live from you, live through you? Now, again, I say, when someone come and he strike on your one cheek, and now sometimes we cannot turn another cheek. We must say we cannot do it. So we bite our teeth and without any memory, and we say we forgive him. Or sometimes even say, I love him. But actually you suffer a lot. And you bite your teeth again and again. You are patient. You are experiencing less of patience. Now you say, Christ must be patient. I have to be patient. But very interesting. The more you become patient, the more you're not happy at all. You ought to be happy because you're patient. And some sister even patient to a point to get the ulcers. You see, many Christians become very nervous because they want to use their way to produce the pearl. Now, I tell you, brothers and sisters, now when pearl is answer of the injury to the injury done, there are different ways. Now, some of the ways, thank the Lord, if you really bite your teeth, if you really learn the lesson of patience, now this is still a pearl because somehow you never strike back. And this already miracle, you know, you all think now, how come I did not strike back? But brothers and sisters, you have to remember, only when you turn another cheek, then you feel peaceful. Why? Your enemy never want your second cheek. No, if he strike your one of your faces, he must be very happy. Some Christian may say, hallelujah, I hit him. But brothers and sisters, remember, he never want your another cheek. No. Who want you to turn another cheek? Our Lord. So if you did not obey that, you never offend your enemy. You did not obey our Lord. So you see, brother and sister, for that reason why you are not happy. You see? Because why you are not happy? Because you did not turn another cheek. You did not go another mile. So my brother and sister, do you see that? There are different pearls. If you really let the life of Christ live through you, then you can have 70 times 7, then you can turn another cheek. That's the pearl of great price. That's kingdom life. Because kingdom life, we live the kingdom life out of obedience. Otherwise, probably our righteousness is better than the scribe and Pharisees because they strike back. That's exactly what Jewish general said, general Israel said. They said, we are not Christians. If Arabs try to hit, if Arabs try to have one eye, we will get them two eyes. If they get one teeth, we'll get the whole mouth of teeth. Now, brother and sister, that's getting even. That's fair. That's Old Testament. That's righteousness of Pharisees and the scribes. But my brother and sister, something better. Oh, even we bite our teeth, even we try to use, we thank the Lord for that wonderful reaction, forgive and forget. But then finally we got ulcers. Finally we become very nervous. These are fine pearls, brothers. Thank the Lord for many beautiful pearls. But what the Lord was seeking is the pearl of great price. So my brother and sister, so if you really read the Word of God, you will find it's very, very interesting. Now, we want to know, how can we have a costly pearl? How can we have a pearl with of a great price? Now, the secret is very interesting. Now, some scientists told us the roundness of pearl, now if the pearl is round, it's beautiful, depends on the tenderness are the small sea creature. The more tender, the sensitive the creature, the rounder the pearl. So, brothers and sisters, if your pearl is of great value, because your pearl is round, but not because you were produced by oyster. We derive our life from life of Christ, and life of Christ was so tender, and our life of Christ was so soft. And for that reason, now that pearl is being formed. So wonderful thing. So that's a secret. You see, now you can understand. How can you have, How can you have a costly pearl? I mean, the pearl speaks of, a pearl speaks of a life that suffers long. But important thing is, how can we get a costly pearl? Now that derived from the, that something very interesting. So let me try to mention something, some facts to you. For example, some shellfish are remarkable for beauty of shape or color. But oyster has a very ugly exterior. I mean, ugly form. It's not like any others. So that's really remind how our Lord, you remember how the Bible said he had no form or nor comeliness. I mean, that's exactly, we know that's what happened. And not only that, and we are reminded of that verse, who was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb dumb before his shearer, opened not his mouth. So brothers and sisters, the life within us is such a life. But now, don't forget, we ought to derive our life from that life. We should live out that life. And not only that, some other fact very interesting. The oyster, when the oyster was caught, then always conveyed to the land, to land. But were left to die by a lingering death in a pit dug for the purpose with sand heaped over it. So that's the normal process. So brothers, you know that how our Lord died by a lingering death on the cross and was buried. So very interesting. According to the observation, the pains of the creature's death help to produce the beauty of the pearl. So that means depends on how lingering is that death. If that death is always lingering there, it always increase some beauty. So this is really life out of death. So for that reason, we read in the Bible, always carrying about in the body the dying of Lord Jesus today, the lingering of the death of Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now that's what happened to the pearl. So the pearl actually derived that life from the life of oyster. Now you see the death here. But another thing very interesting, when the after death, the oyster is taken up out of the pit, and the shell readily open. You don't need any means or any and no difficulty at all. If you try to get ivory, then you have to cut to do many other things. But when it is formed, when the shell die, immediately open, you get it immediately. So that's really remind us the death and the resurrection. Now today, you don't need any force to get the beauty, to get the beauty of Christ from there. No, you don't need to, because it is already formed there. You see? And not only that, and, the pearls, lies concealed in the shell till after the creature's death. You have to wait. You cannot take out early. If you try to attempt to open it before that, it will be very dangerous. Most likely it will injure the pearl. So if the pearl has any problem, probably sometime you did not wait until it's that thoroughly, completely, and then you try to do some work in hurry, then you may danger the pearl. So you see, there are different kind of pearls. Now, if you want some pearl really is of a great value, you have to be very careful. You have to wait for that lingering death. And not only that, when the death really realized, immediately open. And before that moment, you should not reduce any, you should not shorten the time. You have to wait patiently when that creature really die and thoroughly. So brothers and sisters, this immediately remind us that wonderful verse, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So brothers and sisters, you discover the roundness of the pearl, it decided by the life. And also, whether it is beautiful or not, depends on that lingering death, depends on that thorough death. So my brother and sister, thank the Lord for that. Because today, we may say, death is working in us, then life in others. And today we may say that, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So brother and sister, it is a wonderful picture here. We can see this is indeed was described. So that's why, you know, it is a wonderful illustration. The pearl is a perfect illustration. And only our Lord knew why he used that. Because it's so clear, brothers and sisters, it's in line with his teaching, in line with the Sermon on the Mount, in line with the life of Christ which is in us. So thank the Lord. The secret is this. Now, brothers and sisters, now we begin to understand. Sometimes we ask one question. Now, who can live out the life which is according to Sermon on the Mount, aside from Christ, aside from the Son of God? Exactly, that's the answer. Aside from Christ, no one can live out that kind of life. So sometimes we say, oh, it's impossible. But brothers, in order to buy that pearl, he went and sold all that he had. Again, if one day we, by the mercy of the Lord, we live out the life which is according to Sermon on the Mount, because he already paid the high price. He paid the high tuition for us. Brothers and sisters, he know that. It's impossible for us. But he did pay the price. We ought to pay the price. But brothers, you don't have to do anything. Just let that life live out. The important thing is trust and obey. Obedience is the first important element in the kingdom of heaven. We have to obey. We have to cooperate with that life. Let that life live out through us. So, brothers and sisters, by this way, that beautiful pearl, costly pearl, is formed. Now, I think I cannot stop here. I still have some minutes. Now, we already considered these two parables separately. Now we want to put them together. Why? Because this is a twin parables. These are twin parables. So we have to put them side by side. And since we already know the teaching here, since we already know the teaching, so now we want to make application just from these twin parables. And now we will start from Genesis. And we will go until we reach Revelation. Don't worry, I won't take a whole night to do it. But I try my best. If you go to Bible, now the application becomes very, very obvious. Now first, we have to know that this is King's Field. The treasure is in the King's Field. And the Son of Man is Master of the Universe. So, brothers and sisters, our mind has to be broadened. We cannot just limit our eyes or mind just some small field in Palestine. That's true. In the beginning, the Lord did use that as background. But after we derived the teaching, now brothers, when we come back to think about our King, when think about the universe, the master of our universe, now you know that the master of the universe has his own field. So when you think about his own field, now we will go back to the Bible again. Then when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 33, you remember the tribe of Joseph received some blessing. Okay, now let me read it to you. Blessed of the Lord is in his hand, is in his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath. But now I jump to another verse. With the best things of ancient mountains, with the precious things of everlasting hills. Now, brothers and sisters, this is our Father's well. This is the well of the master of the master of the universe. So if you look this planet, and if you look at the ancient mountains, if you look at the everlasting hills, according to the word here, the best things is hidden there, and the precious things are there. So, brothers and sisters, now you can understand, in the field of God, in the field, in this planet, actually God already hidden some treasure somewhere. For example, diamond. Diamond normally, or diamond, or any precious stone normally was hidden about 240 miles deep. You see, you have going down about 240 miles or 384 kilometers. Very deep and dark and hidden. So something was going on there in the deep down inside somewhere in this corner of this planet. And then you have to go through some pressure because there are much pressure and also much heat. Now in 1955, there was the first artificial diamond. Only 1 carat was done by GE, New York. Now, how much pressure they have to produce? They have to produce, now we receive pressure today from the air, right? Now that pressure actually is 53,000 times than that of our pressure. You see that? If today you receive some pressure, now remember, in order that diamond can be formed, you have to suffer 53,000 times that pressure. Now, what is the temperature? More than 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Then, something like a pencil lead, ugly carbon, some kind of element. And through that pressure, through that heat, it has been transformed. It has been formed. But now the problem is this. If you want diamond, where do you get diamond? Because diamond was hidden somewhere almost 240 miles beneath the surface. So how can you do it? So thank God, it is not your work. If one day you get diamond, it is not your work. That's what God was doing. So now you need a transportation to transport this diamond from the depth to the surface. So for that reason, God used volcanoes. God uses translations of something inside of our planet. So out of the volcano, violent force, push that diamond into the surface. So now we know that this diamond somewhere in some mountain, huge mountain here and there. But now, brothers and sisters, how do you get diamond from there? Are you going to tear down whole mountain just to get 1 carat or half carat of diamond? It's impossible. Again, it is God who did all the job. He did all the work. So then we know now this diamond begin about to be revealed. So you see, this process was very, very, very slow. Now, in order for you to see, to discover diamond or gold and all these precious things, now you have to, what you are going to do, now you need the thousands of layers of rock being removed before the final exposure. So you have to find a way to break the rocks. Now breaking or wearing of the rock, God used rain, frost, ice, change of temperature, wind and waves, growth of plant, working slowly by the weathering, even trampled by running water. And now, not only that, then you discover some river from the mountain. So you have brooks and streams and much banging and rubbing. And then gradually, now either some gold or some diamond, because they are heavier. So that's why somehow they sink into the riverbed. Then the other mud just being carried to the lake or to the sea. So, brothers and sisters, now it's about to have a final exposure. Something very interesting. If you went to India, the ancient Hindus, they believed that diamond actually was the rock crystal transformed by the actions of thunderbolts. Why? Because they noticed that after heavy rains, they find diamonds everywhere. You know, so they think this must be because of the action of thunderbolts. Actually, the rain has washed away the covering soil and rock, and leaving the diamond exposed on the surface. So, brother and sister, now you understand the lesson of the cross. Now you begin to enter first the formation of the treasure. Then why the Lord will arrange all kind of environment, all things work together for one purpose. For one purpose, one day, brothers and sisters, these treasures will be revealed. And this treasure will be found. Now, if you follow the river, then you will find something. So, brothers, now I will bring you back to Garden of Eden. Now, Eden, according to the Word of God, always described as the Garden of God. So this is not Garden of Adam and Eve. It is the Garden, it is Garden of our God given to Adam and Eve to use it. So this still belonged to the Lord. And very interesting, if you read your Bible, there were four rivers in the Garden of Eden. The name of the first is Pishon. It is one which skirts the whole land of Havilah. And the Bible said, where there is gold. Now you found gold there. And not only that, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stones are there. Now one translation for bdellium is pearl. And onyx stone is one kind of precious stones. So brothers and sisters, when you come to the Garden of Eden, what do you find? You will find treasure revealed. And if you simply follow the river of life, you will find gold, precious stones, and pearl. Today, same thing apply to us. Brother and sister, the Holy Spirit already in us. if we really follow the life of our the river, and now eventually you will find the gold, you will find precious stones, and you will find the pearl. So, brother and sister, that's how the treasure was hidden and was found. And more than that, now if we come to the last chapter, if we come to 21st chapter of Revelation, then very interesting. I just read it to you, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, that's a description of New Jerusalem. Now, listen carefully what the Bible said. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So, brothers, now you see that Jerusalem is become transparent. The whole Jerusalem just like a diamond, because the most precious stone, clear as crystal. Now, my brothers and sisters, what is a diamond? Now, diamond is just like any other stone if you turn your light off. It's just like any other stone. But when you turn the light on, now the diamond has some kind of nature. The diamond can capture the light. Somehow, when light enters, he won't let light go out. So the light always going around and around in that small diamond until a rainbow-like color forms. So you really see the rainbow in that diamond. And some people will tell, that's a fire of diamond. Actually, that's the glory of diamond. No one see the light, brother and sister. God is light. But thank the Lord. Now somehow in that vessel, in that city of Jerusalem, somehow the glory of God has been captured, has been contained there. And there you see the rainbow. You see the glory of God. Everything become transparent. And not only that, you not only find a precious stone, not only whole things precious stone, you'll find a street is of gold. You'll find every gate is of pearl. Now, from that gate, people can reach the throne of God. You will never get lost there, because there's only one street. The street was singular, and it's of gold. So no matter which gate you come in, always leads you to the Father. So, my brothers and sisters, today, why we need a pearl? Because with this pearl, we are able to usher people in and to the throne of God. So, my brothers and sisters, when you come to the New Jerusalem, you know that that's the final, ultimate manifestation of King's treasure. So, my brothers and sisters, the whole city is just like a treasure. That actually was in the God's heart. Many, many, since foundation of the world. That's what God wants. So my brothers and sisters, now you can understand. In the beginning, you have a Garden of Eden, two-dimensional. At the very end, you have a Garden City, three-dimensional. So in the beginning, you have material. Now after, through the time, now that's the meaning of the time, between the two eternities. Now what God is doing with us is by the work of our Lord and through the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, brother and sister, we are being built up. Not just precious stones, not just pearls. Now pearl become one of the doors. Now pearl will not live by himself. Now pearl should be coordinated with any others. Now, brother and sister, this is a Garden City. God can dwell there. So my brothers and sisters, now this is the ultimate manifestation of the kingdom. So thank the Lord for it. You discover today the Lord is doing something. What the Lord is doing, now today we live in a time between Garden of Eden and New Jerusalem. Thank the Lord. Our Lord already died for us on the cross. So he is our tree of life because Christ died for us on the tree. And that tree, according to John, was in a garden. So we know that when our Lord died for us on the cross, he is our tree of life. So thank the Lord. Now we discover the paradise regained. More than that, you discover not only even the paradise regained is only two-dimensional garden. You may have the pearls here. You may have gold and precious stone there. But thank the Lord. What God wants is something organic, is something collective, is something cooperative, and then is something three-dimensional. And now, brothers and sisters, and then you discover the whole city is just like a precious stone, all transparent. You can see the glory of God. So, brothers and sisters, it's very, very clear. The parable of hidden treasure tells us the kingdom glory, or the glory of the kingdom. And for that glory, and our Lord has sold everything to buy the field. And now, here you find the kingdom life. Thank the Lord. Now, where you have this, now, why you have that glory? Something deep down within. You see, it's hidden. People only want to see the goal, only want to see the final manifestation, but only we Christians really learn how to go through this process. So my brothers and sisters, let us treasure every moment we have today on earth. Don't despise the moment while we are on earth, because God desires his purpose is on earth. So everything, every space, every time related to this planet is precious. It is true. When one day we will be with them, now it's with our Lord, it is wonderful. But then no more cross to bear. Then you will no longer have that wonderful fellowship with the Lord. Try to have fellowship with the suffering of Christ. So my brothers and sisters, let us remember, if our feet still stepping on this planet, let us remember every inch of it, God will claim it for his purpose. God want his desire, want his will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. For that reason, you know, heaven, New Jerusalem, come down from heaven. That's the secret. Do you see that? Thank the Lord for that. Now, this is indeed a secret. This is indeed the mystery of the kingdom of God. This is something precious in the eyes of our Lord. For that reason, he died for us on the cross. He paid our intuition in advance for one purpose, that we may go through the process of life. We may go through the process of maturing. Brothers and sisters, we may go through the working of the cross. All things work together that for one purpose, that we may be transformed into the image of Christ. When that happens, now, people ought to see that treasure, that diamond, or in some way. But brothers and sisters, this is only individual. But because our Lord called us corporately, in every locality, every place, we are supposed to live out that life. We are supposed to bring heaven on this earth. When we are together, gather as a church, that should be heaven on earth. And this is the time for the Lord to do something. This is still something hidden. As if the Lord doing something is somewhere, you know, with high pressure, with high heat. Don't ask why. Sometimes we say, why me? And I always wonder, if you get $100,000, you never ask why me. But now when you talk about, when you really experience something, you experience the pressure, you experience the heat, you experience the death, you experience the irritation. Oh, sometimes you get nervous. Now, brothers and sisters, you always say, why me? Brothers and sisters, treasure every moment. You won't get long. You won't get very long, brothers and sisters. So very soon, we will be all gone. We will be all come out, disappear from this planet. But brothers and sisters, the important thing is, the moment while we are still on this earth, we have to ask the Lord. We have to pray to the Lord. May the kingdom light live out through us. Now one day people can see the kingdom glory, which they can see the king. So brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. We see the king today, but this world ought to see the king in us. Not only individual, also corporately. That's why the church is so important. The testament of the church is so important, because that's something to do with the kingdom of heaven today. But thank the Lord, after through much suffering, if we suffer with him today, we will be glorified with him today, that day. If we suffer the loss of soul today, if we lose our soul today, we will gain our soul that day. He will wipe away all our tears. Yes, brothers, when you turn another cheek, it hurts. But thank the Lord, you lose your soul. But that day, you will gain your soul. So for that reason, brothers and sisters, without talking about kingdom, we really don't know what is spiritual value. Christ's cross will bring us to that value, will give us that value. Thank the Lord. Holy Spirit, make work all things together for one purpose. So, brother and sister, I must say our time is running out. It is wonderful to meet the Lord there. It is wonderful. There will be no tears, no more pain. If you have pain, if you have tears, it must happen today. But brothers and sisters, if you know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, you will receive much comfort from the Lord. Everything happened to us is not by accident. Everything is incident. So may the Lord really speak to our hearts. And in this king's field, how did he form precious stone and gold? And how we discover that in Garden of Eden? And later, how you have that wonderful structure in the universe that represent the ultimate intention of our God. So, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. One day, even enemy try to frustrate the God's plan. Babylon tried to be against Jerusalem. But thank God, before New Jerusalem, Babylon was falling. Thank God, finally, you discover the victory, final victory, belong to our Lord. So may the Lord be merciful to us. Today, not many people know that he is the Lord. He's the King of Kings. But that day, in the age to come, when we come to the millennium kingdom, now many people will recognize that. But now when we come to New Jerusalem, that's the final, ultimate manifestation of kingdom's treasure. Now that time, brothers and sisters, if we walk in the street of New Jerusalem, you will discover the pearl here. You will think about the parable of the pearl. When you see the gold, when you see the precious stone, you know that this belongs to the treasure. But don't forget, that treasure was buried, was hidden on this planet. The will of God will be realized through this planet. That's why we were born not by accident. We were saved not by accident. Thank the Lord. We are here for one purpose. And that purpose is we should be in line with God's purpose. We should take his value as our value. We are all value blindness. But we all value blinded. But brothers and sisters, only when we take his value as our value, now you know how to live a wonderful, how to live a life according to his value. So may the Lord really speak to our hearts. And I really pray to the Lord, if please him, he will use these two parables to speak to our hearts.
in a very solid way. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we commit this word into your hand. If it is your will, if you see fit, just use this word to touch every one of us. Lord, transform our life. We are tired of our present condition and situation. You know our situation, Lord. And even we know your value, but we live according to different value. So forgive us. And now we come to you. Once again, we pray that reveal your value to us. Show us these two parables, because this is your word. And Lord, show us that we may know your eternal will. So Lord, we really pray that you will keep this word. You will use this word to speak to every one of us. Do your deeper work. Make all things work together for the purpose that we may all be transformed into the image of Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.